You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The College Football Experience, way too early, week 8 preview on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network's brought to you by WynnBET. Get started today and you get a risk-free bet up to $500. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at WynnBET.com. That's WynnBET.com and download the app today. We're also brought to you by Coors Light. When you're sweating out your bets, remember to take some time and chill and grab the perfect cold refreshment, Coors Light. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is home to the Best Ball Mania 2 contest where you can win $1 million. That's right, $1 million. Sign up now at underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN.
This is Jerry Glanville, and you're listening to SGPN. Let it ride, brother.
Welcome to the College Experience. Way too early, week 8 college football preview. This is part 2, so we're just going to dive right into this thing. No introductions. Patty C, NC Nick, I'm here. But if, maybe that is an introduction, I don't know. But here we are. We're on pick 13. We've already kept, make sure you check out the first episode where we went through the top 12 games of week 8. Yes, we are covering every single college football week on the College Football Experience Way Too Early edition. We also have a ton of other content. Make sure you subscribe to the College Football Experience because we got it covered for you. Everything college football, 365 days of the year. All right. All right. Pick 13's on me, guys. And I'm going to take us to Berkeley, California. Do some acid, Patty C. All right. Do some acid over there. Look, Colorado at California, guys. This is a huge look. If Colorado's going to have a good year, they need to win this game. And if, and to me, if Cal is going to be a player in the Pac-12 North, this is a game they got to win. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it because this is a great opportunity for both teams. Colorado got dealt a horrible road schedule. All right. They're at Arizona State. They're at Cal, they're at Oregon. And by the way, this is, and then at UCLA and at Utah. So they get 5 away games and probably you can make a case that, I mean, for all you know, this could be the top 5 teams in the Pac-12 they're playing on the road. So this is a back-to-back stretch. They get at Cal and then at Oregon. I'll put it like this. If Colorado is going to have a successful season, they need to win one of those.
At Cal, at Oregon,
yes,
you said?
And your best chance is this one.
Yeah, definitely.
Your best chance is this one. So another reason why is because that week before Cal is going to be playing the Ducks in Autzen. So I think good spot for Colorado to maybe get them after a big win if they can pull off an upset. But either way, Colorado at Cal, I think this is a big game for both. I mean, you bring up both these teams. Colorado, by the way, bringing back a ton, 83% of their roster is back. That's like top 10 among Power 5,
which will make it interesting because the first half of their schedule is kind of brutal.
No, they have a brutal schedule. I almost think that it's almost like, despite how good they were last year, they almost played for the Pac-12 championship. But you look at it, that road schedule is brutal.
Right. Well, so, I'll say this before that though. I mean, when
they play 11 Power 5s,
their road schedule, you said, or their because 5 of their first 6 games are at home.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying in general, Colorado's road schedule, getting potentially 5, they could use just one Arizona or something on that schedule, or even a Oregon State or something. Where I know it's still tough, but you're playing.
That's true. All 5 of their road games are very losable.
Yeah, and they're all crazy different terrains too. Like I feel like that's a brutal road schedule. And the fact they look who they get from the north, man. They really got I would say
they, I think Cal,
Washington. Oregon. No, Cal, Oregon, Washington, Oregon State. Right?
It's tough.
I think there's a chance that Stanford and Wazoo are in the basement of the Pac-12 North. If I had to project it, that's probably what I would do. So to me, they're getting their top four teams of the Pac-12 North.
We'll see about Oregon State, but I certainly think three of the top probably four teams in Washington, Oregon, and
Cal.
Yeah.
Nick, what do you think of Colorado at Cal?
You know, Boulder versus Berkeley. I'm not sure which student body is more annoying.
Who can take more edibles?
That's a good question.
But I like both football teams. I mean, both should be bowling here. It should be a fun game. Should be a close game. And it, yeah, it means a lot in both of the, you know, Pac-12 North and South races. And it's always kind of fun to watch, you know, the two a team from each division play each other that maybe doesn't play every year. So I like it.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like if Colorado's going to make a bowl, this is a must win. I feel like
state flagship schools from two very proud Western states. Gotta like that.
There you go.
There you go.
Pick 14, NC Nick. It's on you.
Let me take you back to a weekday, and this game was great last year. SMU won in overtime, 37-34 at Tulane. So this time is Tulane at SMU Thursday night. Again, we got two bowl caliber teams squaring off on a Thursday. SMU has won six in a row, but four of those six games were by less than a touchdown. So you know this game is going to be close. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's got Thursday by itself.
Well, that's what in a way the AAC has kind of become like the Pac-12, where, I mean, yes, I guess South Florida would be the only like, but I feel like every game is like, okay, it's if Navy Tulane, SMU, yeah, Tulsa,
that's a competitive,
you know, it's like everyone's like, geez, like it's going to be a great game to watch, but the carnage I think might be too much.
All those teams would put up a decent fight in a New Year's Six game.
Yeah.
They're not just like competitive amongst themselves. They're nationally kind of competitive.
Well, the AAC is going to have their chance this, I feel like, more than any year.
Yeah.
This year, they're really going to have their a chance to prove themselves. Tulane gets Oklahoma and Ole Miss. SMU gets TCU, which they get often. SMU, I think, won the last time they played. Cincinnati getting Indiana and Notre Dame. UCF only gets Boise. But still, Boise's Boise.
Yeah.
Right?
Some somewhat high profile games.
ECU welcomes South Carolina. Yeah,
they're capable of winning.
That's a huge opportunity for ECU. South Florida, they were dog shit last year, but they welcome Florida. If they can just play good in that, that could be a big game for the AAC. Yeah. We've touched on Navy gets Notre Dame, which they get all the time. Maybe they can play them better this year. But I think it's a huge year for the AAC. Temple, by the way, Temple Rutgers, that game just got moved to opening Thursday.
Fuck yeah. Really?
Yeah. Opening college football Thursday. So a big opportunity in the AAC for a lot of these teams. So, and I think this year's schedule really, it's surprising how many teams are on the road playing at the AAC team. So
boom.
Should be interesting. Tulsa plays at Ohio State.
Power.
Tulsa plays at Ohio State. Any chance Tulsa hangs tough with Ohio State?
No.
I like Tulsa this year, but that's probably a stretch.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, Tulane SMU, I like this game. I'm excited to watch this game, and I think it should be fun. And by the way, Houston, Texas Tech. That's in Houston. So that's
there you go.
AAC's got a lot of nice matchups. All right, well, pick 15. Patty C, it is on you. Where are you going?
Well, I'm going to go a little surprise here. And just because it's a new coach who's bringing something that hasn't been in old Rocky Top for quite a while, and that is a potentially explosive offense.
I could give a shit of this game. This is okay. Go on.
Well, it's a traditional rivalry. Third fucking Saturday of October, baby. Give me Tennessee going to the Crimson Tide. They're going to get their ass kicked, but I want to see Heupel put up a nice little fight here with all these new transfer quarterbacks. Someone is going to emerge.
Dude, this is not the whatever number this is. What pick is this? Pick this 15.
Look, sometimes I just want to see two fucking gigantic fan bases at flagship SEC schools squaring off, and there's excitement in the air at Tennessee for the first time in a fucking long time. And
what?
Well, I'm sure
they had that excitement last season. They thought they were going to have a great season.
Well, right? Well, let me say that. That's true. That's every season. They're like the Redskins fans. They think if they win one game, they're going to the Super Bowl.
Hey, reigning NFC East champions. Thank you.
There you go.
All right. So what you're hoping for is a 2015. All right. But that's not going to happen. I doubt. Look at these scores. 48-17 Bama last year, 35-13 the year before, 58-21 the year before, 45-7 the year before, 49-10 the year before.
Now, okay. Maybe it was a little too high.
I mean, these are just straight ass kickings. There's only been two within 7 points in like the past 20 years. I feel like
if it was on Rocky Top, maybe this would be a more interesting.
Tennessee game. Hasn't won this game since 06.
Okay.
So Saban's undefeated against them. Well,
in Patty's defense, I mean, we're really getting to the point in this week where there's not a whole lot out there.
No, granted,
I had this way down 28. So I agree early.
There's better. But, like, I have zero interest in watching this football game.
I'm not gonna watch it.
Well, you will fucking watch it if it's close.
It's not gonna be close.
Yeah. Look,
if is a big if, right? But if this game is close in the fourth quarter, or San Diego State versus Air Force is close in the fourth quarter, which one are you turning on?
But what's the likelihood that San Diego State and Air Force will be close in the fourth quarter? I would say that's like a 95% chance. whereas this game has just been a shit fest for the past 15 years.
Fair enough. Look, have San Diego State or Air Force won national championships in our lifetime?
Look, there's no real national championship.
Has Tennessee and Alabama won national championships in our lifetime?
Not really. It was an invitational. Look, and it's at Bama. Maybe if it was in Rocky Top.
Yeah.
This one is at Bama.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. It doesn't matter where it's at. It could be played on the moon.
Alabama's going to be asleep at the wheel, and Josh Heupel's got a thing up his sleeve. This is Lane Kiffin 2.0, only he's going to seal the deal. Look, Jeff Lebby, fucking UCF, went and gave it to Nick Saban's defense. Josh Heupel, UCF,
but that was in Oxford, Mississippi. These were are in Tuscaloosa. That's a horse of another color.
Let me ask you this: when the last time Ole Miss beat Alabama, was that not in Tuscaloosa, or one of those two games that they won back to back? Clearly, was Alabama can lose at home. It's not going to happen. But
he's trying to sell us his bucket, Nick. He's trying to sell us his bucket.
I'm not buying it.
Yeah, I'm not buying it either.
Two SEC powerhouses, big. Flagship schools playing.
Patty C still holds on to Miami as a powerhouse. Nebraska is a powerhouse. Right, Tennessee is a powerhouse.
I still like watching them. It brings back memories. Okay.
Hey, well, you know what?
I'm sorry. I like tradition, Colby. I'm sorry you would rather watch a competitive game between Pee Wee football teams than a 15 point game between SEC powerhouses.
How about Air Force Academy? The people that lay it down for our country. All right.
Fair enough.
All right. Now you just need to realize, first off, Rich, I mean, you know, Bill Parcells was once a coach at Air Force. All right. Joe Gibbs and John Madden were once at San Diego State.
That was in 1966.
I dare you shit on them. All right. Marshall Faulk. All right.
And they're our gal.
Yeah. Get the fuck out of here. You try to shit on them. You're kidding me.
You live in San Diego, Patty.
Yeah, you no good sack of
to jump on. To
you
jump
ever
on,
lived in Knoxville?
Yeah. I have not lived in Knoxville, but I bet there's a bunch of hot ass bitches. Probably not as good as San Diego, though. But no. Well, which is why I actually think your point earlier is valid, is because they don't give a fuck about San Diego State. They gave a little bit of a fuck about the Chargers back then when I was living down there.
Yeah, a little bit.
Sellout.
Well,
fans,
you got to remember the journey that San Diego State was on, though, man. They weren't even in the Mountain West. At one point, they were in the WAC. Before that, like, it's been a growing process here.
Oh, they've come a long way.
They've come a long way, and Brady Hoke and Rocky Long have really got this program in good shape, and Hoke's recruiting higher, better than they've ever have right now.
A brand new stadium catered to what their expectations should be. I think it's
well, you know what? Fuck it. I got to play the game here then. Air Force. This is in Colorado Springs, though. So San Diego State at Air Force. I will not let Patty C get away with this. I'm playing this right here. Nick, what do you like about San Diego State at Air Force?
Well, you mentioned it when we were talking about the previous game that it should be a close matchup, you know, and, you know, on the road, San Diego State better watch out. Air Force better at home. It's going to be competitive. Much more competitive than Bama, Tennessee. So I had it at 24, where I had Tennessee Bama at 28. You know,
well, but I had this further back, but I'm sneaking this in here because we're talking so much about it that I feel like it needs to be right next to Tennessee Alabama because it's a better game. You know,
I agree. I have it ranked higher.
Yeah, I mean, look, you got the whole San Diego. You know, all the military down in San Diego. They're coming up to Colorado Springs. It's a good little Mountain West rivalry here. So I like this one. Troy Calhoun's an unbelievable coach at Air Force. Love what he does. And I think both these teams will be bowling at the end of the day. So,
but let's be honest here. Any game that we're going to bring up now, we're probably not watching, you know, from start to finish. It's probably one of those games where
I beg to differ.
You might be monitoring it. You know, if it's tight, you might switch over in the fourth quarter, but here is where this week shows its true colors, and the colors are not very good because it's a lot of shitty games.
I got a few out there that have caught my eye that you're sleeping on right now. Sleeping on one, and Nick, it's your pick, but
I already know what he's going to say. Yes. It's a flag plant game.
This game does not interest me at all, but I'm going to take it anyway.
Where are you going?
Dude, remember our buddy Gerard one time in a fantasy draft, he was a big Giants fan and he drafted Ron Dane. But the way he said it, he's like, shit, give me Ron Dane. It was like the least energetic pick ever.
Well, it's like he knew that was going to be a bad pick because it was a bad pick, right?
He was pissed taking the pick when he did. And that's my feeling right here, because I'm going to go Wisconsin at Purdue.
Yeah,
it's going to be a noon Eastern time tip. It's going to be a boring ass game.
You have to take it though, because it's like the quality of the teams.
I would much rather watch Wisconsin Purdue than Tennessee Alabama.
True. Agreed. I have ranked higher, you know, but I didn't know this until I did some research, but Wisconsin has won 14 in a row.
Wow.
You got to go all the way back to 2003. The last time Purdue won. So maybe, you know, at home,
yeah, let me.
Colby's been trying to sell us on those Boilermakers.
Yeah, they're gonna make a bowl. You said it too, though, Chief. All right,
Purdue sucks. And look, Wisconsin, this game will probably be over by the second quarter, just like Alabama, Tennessee. But let me ask you,
this game will be much tighter.
Hasn't Tennessee lost to LSU on a heartbreaker? Didn't Tennessee beat Georgia on a Hail Mary recently? Doesn't Tennessee sometimes hang with Florida? These are not Alabamas, but they're not that far. Tennessee is capable.
Is Alan Cooley paying you to say this?
Yeah, what's going on here, man? Something's definitely. Look, Purdue is going to be solid this year. They're going to be solid. I don't know if they're going to be a contender in the Big Ten West.
Is Jeff Brom paying you to say this?
Look,
are you guys some kickbacks?
Let's just see. I want to see what Purdue has done against Wisconsin lately. Did they play last year? They got canceled because Wisconsin's a bunch of cowards.
They've lost 14 years in a row.
But as long as it's a close game, that's half the battle here, Patty C. Look, okay, 45-24-19. That was a blowout. That was a bad Purdue team, though. Let's go to 18, where Purdue made a bowl. They 47-44 in overtime. This is exactly my point. This is a much better game. All right, give me the boy. This is where it deserves to be.
Who's the wide receiver that Rondale Moore is not walking through that door, buddy?
Oh man, yeah. Well, guess what? Peyton Manning's not walking through that door at Tennessee.
Fair enough.
You know, I didn't even realize when I went down that Ron Dane angle that he played for Wisconsin. So it all tied in there.
Boom. Oh, jeez. Nice. I've never told you you're a few sandwiches short of a picnic. All right, because I thought that was specifically the angle. I wrote Wisconsin Purdue when he mentioned Ron Dane. Anyway, pick 18, Patty C. It's on you.
Ay. Oh boy. Look, you got a good one up there that I think probably has to be the choice.
I mean, come on. There's a couple that Nick's statement's not correct. I'm going to watch every snap of a couple of these.
There's a couple good ones out West.
Yes,
there are a couple good ones out West. In fact, I think we're sleeping on the fact that we think BYU is going to regress here.
Yes.
And this was a team that was potentially the best team in the country.
We are sleeping on this game. Yeah, this game should be higher up.
It really should. I mean, Rolovich did a great job in year one.
He's going BYU at Washington State is the pick, Nick, in Pullman. Yes, continue on, Patty C.
Yeah, BYU last year, like we said, had an amazing run there. Obviously, Zach
Wilson's gone,
not coming back, but I think Sataki's got it rolling the whole. I mean, that was not a one man.
He's a good
team.
Coach, man. He's a good coach.
Yeah. He is. And they play good football. And Washington State has been up for a while now, and Rolovich is continuing what Leach was able to establish there. So look, in terms of quality of football, pretty damn good game. And I think the fact that there's a little bit of geographical relevance to this, potentially even for a rivalry, if they were to play more. Yeah. Fuck yeah,
dude. This is one I'm going to probably watch every snap. Maybe it's the Wazoo connection. Maybe it's because I love Wazoo since I was a kid, but I'm excited to watch this one. This will probably be a night game, so I'm going to be all on board. Nick's going to be asleep. That's why you hate it on this game. All right.
So it made my top 15, but you're right. Bad. This game screams like 11 PM Eastern time kick. So I'll catch the highlights the next morning, but it should be an interesting game here. I like the game, you know. I just wish it was probably going to be at a earlier time so I could watch it. I will say it's the second of back-to-back road trips for BYU. So be careful, BYU, because Wazoo's a tough place to win.
Yeah, I'm telling you, this game's great. This game is fucking great. This is better than the past five games we picked.
Well, let me say this too. BYU's schedule has traditionally been murderous, right? Yeah. It isn't this year. We saw what it was, what they did when it wasn't murderous last year. Like, and we saw what they did when it wasn't murderous under Bronco Mendenhall. They would be a 10-11 win team most years, and then the schedule got a little harder, and they started becoming like an 8-9 win team. But now this schedule is very manageable. They could be coming into this game with one loss. I mean, they get their hardest games. They get Utah at home. They get Arizona State at home.
Those are still hard games.
They get
though,
Boise
dude.
At home. They
this
are
schedule
hard
is still ridiculous.
It's hard. Yeah. It's hard, but it's not like they're having to go on the road to USC. You know,
they do have to go to USC,
but not at this not at this point in the season.
I would argue this schedule's
it's
ridiculous.
Not like they have to go to Green Bay and play the Packers.
Yeah. That's right. I just think this team may be like 6-1 at this
dude,
point in the season.
Look at this schedule. Arizona Power 5, Utah Power 5, Arizona State Power 5, Baylor Power 5, Washington State Power 5, Virginia Power 5, USC Power 5. Then when you look at the mid-majors they're playing, at Utah State, if you throw out last season, they're a bowl team every year, right? Boise State is a Power 5 team essentially on the group of 5 ranks. Then you add in Georgia Southern, who makes a bowl every year, a triple option team. Yeah, at Georgia Southern too. And South Florida is the one real, I guess, shit team besides the FCS team in Idaho State. Yeah. Even them are not bad in the FCS. I don't know. I think it's a hard schedule.
It's a tough schedule, but I really feel like their schedule before had been like impossible.
Yeah.
They had made it really, really hard on themselves for several years in a row. And so now maybe with a slightly more manageable schedule, they can emerge as another 10 win team consistently. We'll see.
We will see. But I do think the game deserves to be played here. It actually deserves to be a lot higher in my opinion. So that's a really good game.
I thank you.
And all right, guys, I want to tell you guys that the College Football Experience is brought to you by WynnBET. WynnBET is bringing you the action of real sports betting with the Wynn Las Vegas experience. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, and sports games. Generous promos, odds, and parlays are happening right now at WynnBET. Get started today and receive a special offer up to a $500 risk-free sports bet. Yes, terms and conditions do apply. Get the details at WynnBET.com. That's WYNNBET.com and download the app today. All right, guys, it's back to me. All right, pick 19, and I still have a game or two that I really want to watch, guys. And I know you'll disagree with me here, NC Nick, but I am taking you to Corvallis, Utah.
No, I agree. Good pick.
Okay, Utah at Oregon State. This game is just seems like a boatload of fun to me. I think it's a dangerous game for Utah. We hit on they don't play a lot of tough away games this season, right? I think USC and Oregon State are probably the two of the bigger ones. And Oregon State, I don't even think they think is a big one, but trust me, you go to this Corvallis, this is probably going to be at like 11 PM kick for you on the East, Nick. And this game screams trap game for me.
Well, you damn straight. It's going to be close. I mean, at home last year in Salt Lake City, Utah only won 30-24 and the Beavers are coming off a bye. So I am right with you. Watch out for the upset here.
This is a trap game, man. This is a true trap game. Unfortunately, I think Utah is going to be in position to win the Pac-12 South before this game. And this is going to be the one that costs them. And then you're going to see UCLA or USC in the Pac-12 championship because of this loss.
I could see that.
Patty C, what do you think of this game?
I still haven't completely bought into Oregon State, but I will acknowledge that, you know, I have to do a little more studying on them, but I think you guys have both been a little ahead of the curve on their reemergence as a respectable program here. And they have a couple tough games on the schedule prior to this, obviously at USC, hosting Washington, and then going to Pullman. But
last year, Oregon State went, they had a bad season, 2-4. They lost their starting quarterback to a torn ACL midseason, but three of their four losses by 6 points or less.
Yeah, I mean, I do think they are improving, and should they be able to pull off, I mean, going to Purdue, who do you favor right off the bat in that?
That game is going to be wild. I can't wait to watch that.
These are two of Colby's sleepers.
Well, so I just think both offenses are going to be firing, firing. I would favor, because it's at Purdue, I would favor Purdue. But if this was in Corvallis, I would take Oregon State.
So is that what Oregon State has right now? Is that the identity of their team, is a powerful offense?
Powerful. The defense has played a lot better too. But really, one of the things that makes me so high on Oregon State is we saw Chris Peterson when Jonathan Smith left.
Yeah.
That offense all of a sudden went to shit.
Took a hit for sure.
And Jonathan Smith, to me, instantly came into Oregon State, and you could see each year them growing as a team. So I think he's a really good coach, and I think I think we are ahead of the curve on this one.
Yeah. So you would say Oregon State, probably the identity is balance, but with offense being what's going to win them their games.
Yes. Quarterback play. I mean, obviously they beat Oregon last year, the team that won the Pac-12 allegedly.
Yeah. despite not winning their own division. Yeah. I mean, all that to say, at Purdue, Hawaii at home, Idaho at home, at USC, Washington at home, and at Washington State, should they win one of those three Pac-12 games, just and then win their non-conference slate, they'd be 4-2, maybe 5-1 coming into this game. And then Utah, like you said, perennial contenders in the Pac-12 South. So actually some title implications here in a game you wouldn't normally expect them to have it.
I love that. I love this play. Anyway, pick 20, Nick, it's on you. Where are you going?
This is where it gets a little tough. All right, I will take a page out of your book and go with the Big 12 matchup, just because I think it could be close and fun and competitive. And sometimes these Big 12 matchups get kind of wacky in the fourth quarter. A lot of points are scored. Kansas State at Texas Tech.
Yes. Big 12, Nick.
There we go, man. See, I'm not hating anymore. I mean, Kansas State, I think it's a better team, but not by that much. And it's a road trip to Lubbock, so this one could be fun. It could be competitive.
This is another one that I will, if it's on, I'd probably watch every
snap. It's tough to drum up a storyline for this one, but both of these teams are capable.
I told you this, man. We talked TCU, West Virginia. To me, there's only three sleepers in the Big 12. TCU, West Virginia, that third one is K-State. K-State, everyone looks at them from last year. When they had all those players out, go back the year before when they won eight games, and Kleiman's 2-0 against Oklahoma, I should add.
Yeah.
I think K-State's better than what people realize right now.
What are the tiers of the Big 12? Is it Oklahoma and then
I think
a
Iowa
bunch
State
sleepers?
Is starting to starting to push into the top tier.
Iowa State is tier two right now, just behind Oklahoma.
I think four straight bowl games. So
I think they're kind of on their own. Maybe with Oklahoma State as tier two.
Yeah, I'd say
Texas is right there.
Yeah, I think those three are tier two.
Okay. And then below that you have West Virginia,
which is pushing for tier two.
Yeah. K-State. And
TCU.
And TCU.
And Texas maybe, no, and you know what? Baylor needs to be in there too. Baylor. Yeah. So
it's a competitive conference.
I don't know why NC Nick hates the Big 12 so much, you know? But he took a play here on K-State, Texas Tech. I like this game. I remember this is actually, I believe, the first Big 12 game that I ever saw played with Byron Hansbart against Michael Bishop and company. So
I thought you meant in person for a second. I was like, what?
No. About, okay.
I was 12 years old and I traveled to fucking Lubbock.
Took a bus. all right, Pat. I mean, Patty C, pick 21. Where are you going?
Oh boy. Okay. There are some games that have some personal significance for me here. But I'm going to go with a Big Ten matchup that I don't think is getting much love. And I'm going to take a flyer on it. I don't think it's potentially.
Don't try to sell me this bucket of Loxley.
No, I'm not giving you a loss. Okay. I'm not giving you a lot. I'm giving you a much more proven. Bielma. That's right. I'm giving you Bielma, who has went to the Rose Bowl three times with his Wisconsin, you know, and you got the sleeping giant. I think that
if it was in Champaign, maybe, but I guess, I mean, we're at this point where
any game that you bring up, you can poke holes at right now.
Right. Exactly. I mean, Penn State clearly the favorite, but look, I think, and I could be full of shit here. I don't actually know what the fuck I'm talking about here, but some of these systems take a few years to establish, whether it be the triple option or you got to get your guys in there, you know, the air raid, what have you. I think Brett Bielema, smash mouth football. If you got the guys year one, it can fucking work, you know? And so if they got some horses down there that we don't know about, maybe they just come in and smash. I mean, Penn State fucking sucked ass last year. So it would be easy to see the tide turn if
this guy plays Alabama, Tennessee, and then Illinois, Penn State, Nick, huh?
Let me ask you this. Before last year, do you think anyone thought Indiana, Penn State was a respectable game?
I actually thought it could because Indiana made a bowl the year before.
Well, fuck you. Yeah. You ruined my
Illinois sucked
they
last year.
They don't call him TMZ Pat for nothing.
God.
I mean, Dick Buckus is not walking through that door. What do
you got? Pat. Wake Forest Army?
You're the Army fan. I thought you would play that one.
Well, Wake isn't exactly.
I understand we're at this point. Maybe this is a good game. All right. I feel like this one probably should make the top 30. So, all right. I'll give you a little bit of credit there.
All right. I appreciate it.
I do think there was a better game or two, but you'll see in a second. Nick, Illinois, Penn State, do you want to mention anything else?
Not really.
let me ask you this, Nick. There was a time when you were a Penn State fan. Has that day passed?
It has.
Well, you know, so, I think right, a big story of molesting children might make anyone not be a fan.
Yeah. So back, I remember when I was a kid, I don't know how old, 8 years old or something, watching like on a little like 6-inch TV in my bedroom, watching this I think it was Penn State Notre Dame. And I saw Penn State do a drive of all runs, no passes. And for some reason I was like, man, that's pretty cool. I just started following Penn State for some reason.
And our older brother is a Notre Dame fan because that's how I became a Colorado fan is Colorado was playing Notre Dame in the national championship. And as a brotherly rule, you can't root for what your brother's rooting for.
I'm glad you get it.
Yeah. So I had all of a sudden, and I hadn't watched any college football yet. So I'm like, okay, I'm diving into Colorado. Yeah. That's my team. They just beat Jared's
team. Colby gets it. It's naturally, it's inherent for some people, right? Like, that's like the Jordan fan that I can't fucking stand. if you were born in 1983 or later, right?
You play to win the game.
Continue on. Yeah.
If you were born in 1983 or later, your first recollection of Michael Jordan was an NBA champion. You're not allowed to start liking him at that point. Fuck you. You know, you don't like someone that's already made it.
Well, the key is to not like the NBA anymore, buddy. Let's move along. but pick 22. This is back on me. And I'm going to take you to, okay. I'm gonna take you to Louisville, Kentucky, where look, this is a better game. This is a better game than some other ones out there, Nick. Look, Jeff Hafley had a winning season year one. I like what he's doing at BC. Satterfield, if you take away this crazy COVID year, had an 8-win year the year prior at Louisville when they were projected to be horrible. He has a lot of success at App State. I believe in Satterfield. I like his quarterback situation. This is a huge game for the Cards. And I think a big game for Boston College. It might be they got Jurkovic back at quarterback. So this is a good game. This is better than Illinois, Penn State. This is better than Tennessee, Alabama. All right, Boston College, Louisville. I know it.
Looked at that one too. I like it too.
It's a good game. This one I expect to be like a good game in the fourth quarter. Sign me up for BC at Louisville. Nick, your thoughts?
Look, I'm an ACC guy, but I don't want to put too much lipstick on a pig here. it's going to be close, but come on. I mean, it's a pretty boring game here. It's going to get lost in the shuffle on a Saturday, even on a week slate for a Saturday. It's going to get lost in the shuffle, but sure. You're flipping around trying to catch a close game towards the end. You can watch some, but come on, BC Louisville.
Well, let me say this. BC is kind of like West Virginia. Here's a stat here that you guys might not realize.
How so?
Boston College has missed a bowl three seasons since 1998.
Oh,
that's so a like, fucking consistent team.
Yeah.
Annually average.
Annually average. You're going to get 8 wins out of Boston College on average, I would say.
I don't know about 8. Well, I think it's 6
to 7
yeah.
now, but last 4 years, 7-6, 7-6, 7-5, 6-7.
So. Well, what Halfley has done, Adazio was a mess. They never had good quarterback play. They couldn't kick an extra point to save their fucking life. What Halfley's done, he got Jerkovic, who's I've seen on NFL radars for the draft next year. Boston College used to be quarterback you, Tim Hasselbeck, Matt Hasselbeck, Glenn Foley, Matt Ryan, Doug Flutie, Mark Hartzell. Shout out to Mark Hartzell, Nick. Get in on that. Brian St. Pierre, right? He played for the Steelers. All right. This program used to pump out quarterbacks. Maybe they're going back to it. I think this game's going to matter. We made the case that Louisville could be a sleeper in the Atlantic. And I think NC State can make that case too. So I think this one could be more important than we realize at the moment.
Let me say this too. There was a time when Boston College had some Irish coaches. Yeah. Coughlin, Henning, O'Brien. Right. And then they started getting a little crazy with the Italians. Spaziani, Jagosinski.
They fired him for taking a fucking interview with the Bucks. What he was a good coach.
Yeah, I don't even.
They
think
deserve
that. I think
failure.
That's like Norwegian or whatever.
They need to go back and hire Adazio. A Murphy or a Duffy or something.
Yeah, Halfley's close enough. So I think they're pointed back in the right direction, away from 7 wins, closer to 8 wins. That's the spectrum that Boston College falls within. So
I would love to see BC come up, man. They need to come back.
Well, they were in the ACC championship like 3 straight times, losing to Tech, or 2 straight times at least losing to Tech.
Man, the ACC has just been trash for so long.
It has been trash.
And they go, BC went to 3 straight.
Well, they were number 2 in the country under Matt Ryan.
I remember.
That was some fun games versus Virginia Tech.
That was
fucking awesome rivalry. But all that is, I think Louisville is an actual like sleeper in the Atlantic. So this game, I don't know if Boston College is going to come up a little. I can't imagine them actually being a threat in the Atlantic just yet. Maybe.
I think it'll be a bowl team this year.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, both these teams will be bowl teams.
20 out of the last 23 years they have been. So you're really going out on a limb there.
All right. Pick 23 NC Nick. Where are you going?
All right. If you guys want to talk about average to below average ACC games, we'll just keep it going. Georgia Tech at UVA. Jeff Collins, third year, I think. Maybe fourth year, third year.
Third year. And what do you think? Like, it's funny. Real Money Kramer was asking me, he's like, Colby, is Georgia Tech due for a good year this year? And I go, I think they're still 1 year away because Sims was a freshman that only played like 5 games last year.
He's talented.
And he just struggled at passing so much.
He's a runner. He's an athlete.
But I kind of like the trajectory of the program, though. I think Collins is bringing in good people. I think
they could make a step here, baby step.
Yeah. A bowl game would just be enough. Just get to 6 or 7 wins and you're good.
I'm not sure I'm sold.
I'm not sold on them yet either, but I'm just saying the little things that I've noticed. They got some talent. They beat you. Patty C tries to sell us on Florida State. Georgia Tech beat Florida State last year. All right.
There you go.
What did Georgia do? What was their record last year?
They weren't very good. All right.
I feel like they shit the bed against.
They lost to Clemson by like 60.
Didn't they shit the bed against Louisville, or was that the game Louisville shit the bed against them? Something happened in that game.
They beat Pitt last year. Georgia Tech did. I mean, I'm telling you, Georgia Tech was actually better. Like they have shown some signs of coming to life here. They're incredibly young. Starting last year, they purposely went out and started a guy that was in high. He was 18 years old, man.
Yeah.
So they're only going to get better. You look at last season. They only won 2 games and they got blown out of a lot. All right. So,
and let's look, UVA is not like a dominant team here. This could be a game.
Yeah, it could be a game.
Jeff Collins, born in Georgia and repping Atlanta. You know, that is a recruiting strategy that might get them going, but Virginia Bronco. I'm glad you brought this one up, Nick, because I wish I could have gotten to this one. It shames me a bit every time I don't bring UVA up, but look, UVA won the Coastal 2 years ago. Fuck anyone who thinks that they almost beat.
No, well, they're the last Coastal champion.
That's true.
Last year didn't
they are
have
the defending Coastal champions.
Good point.
And
how did UVA get to do that in basketball? They were like defending champions for like 2 years. And in football, they're defending Coastal champions for 2 years.
We flex our banners twice as hard. We're like, what is it? Fucking Kingpin. We do everything 1.5 times more. I don't know. This game's going to suck, but UVA hopefully will win and it will push us closer to that ACC Coastal crown, only to get smacked by Clemson again.
Yeah, there you go, man. All right, pick 24, Patty C. It's on you. Where are you going?
Oh boy. Oh, okay. So that one's off the fucking radar. You know what? I'm beating you guys to the punch again. In case you had that idea.
FCS
Pat is on the radar.
Dude, this is a great week for FCS football.
It is. It is a good.
When I quickly glanced at it, I saw three or four big time matchups. Where are you going?
Where else am I going?
You're going to Delaware, aren't you?
I'm taking your fucking blue hens to the hen house, and I'm going to be the fox gobbling that ass up.
JMU at Delaware. Look, this is a nice play because both these teams were in the Final Four in the FCS playoffs. That means both these teams probably would be bowl teams in the FBS, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Nick, what do you think of JMU at Delaware?
Like, looking at the FBS schedule here, I have no problems dipping into the FCS ranks. It's a good game, and what else you got here, you know?
Yeah, and the Blue Hens are going to make a statement. This is where they take over the reins of the CAA.
Two of the better defenses in all of FCS football. Yeah. So expect a slugfest here.
And I saw, I think, both quarterbacks coming back, both experienced quarterbacks coming back.
Maybe a national championship preview, or yeah, certainly could at be. Least a playoff preview.
Could be. Like this play. Okay, pick 25. I want to tell you guys, though, first that the college experience, yes, the college experience, way too early week 8 preview is brought to you by Coors Light. Look, you ever feel like you're always on? What do you need to do when you need a moment to chill? How do you like to hit the reset button to get, you know, ready for what's next? These days, everything's a go, go, go. You know, it's nothing but nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, you know, family, a million pressing social issues, and you know, and an expectation to really be on 24/7. Sometimes you just need a moment to turn it off and hit reset. That's when you need to reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. Cold activated cans. Those things just look great. But really, I mean, this. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that is Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and the cans can even turn blue when your beer is cold. How cool is that? You know what I mean? Fuck a glow in the dark thing. You know what I mean? You got you got a Coors Light silver bullet can, right?
Do they have glow in the dark cans out there?
I don't know.
That's your glow in the dark dildo you're talking about, Colby.
Look, when you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Yeah. So, make sure you grab a silver bullet. These things are fantastic. They go down smooth. Get a Coors Light when you can. All right. These things are great. All right, here we go. Pick 25 and it's on me. Only two more picks left for myself here, for each of us, I should say. Guys, we're sleeping on a couple big time games out there. All right. And one of them is in Houston, Texas, the East Carolina Pirates traveling to Houston, Texas to really just show up and say, hey, we are the future of the AAC. Mike One Houston is going to get it done in Houston. It takes a Houston to beat a Houston. All right. And so Mike Houston's going to do it.
That's definitely been said before.
ECU at Houston, guys. Come on. Give me some love for this game, guys. What's going on here? Nick?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of fun. We'll see. We'll see if ECU's legit or not. I mean, you've been pumping them up for a couple of years now, and I there's not much to show for it. So we'll see.
Yeah.
It's got potential.
One storyline about this. I challenge you to drum up one compelling storyline about this game.
Well, because is Houston going to come back to where it was? Holgorsen, you said, was a great hire, stole him away from the Big 12. Well, you know what? He's had his struggles the first couple of years. Now this is a big opportunity
for
them.
He's been drinking heavy.
And
the whole storyline is Colby's an ECU fan and he's been pumping them up. So it's put up or shut up time. They don't have to win. They have to at least play decent.
I think Houston and Houston's a fun tagline.
Yeah. Houston and Houston is a good tagline. I can see that being on the New York Times and come on, let's not sleep on, dude. I went to one of these games in Greenville when Case Keenum threw for like 600 yards against UCU.
Revenge.
make a long story short, we brought in a flask. All of us, this thing was done. I mean, by the second quarter, this was in some dark. We had a 2-year stretch where we were losing. We hired a Florida defensive coordinator. John Thompson was his name. And we sucked. And then we went out and hired Skip Holtz. But we got our ass totally destroyed by Houston. I was definitely puking in the bathroom at halftime. So anyway, but I think this game's going to be good. I think ECU is flying under the radar. You guys know, do I need to pull up this stat, guys? Do I need to go and tell you that East Carolina is bringing back 91% of their roster?
91% of what?
Holton Allers shown a ton of potential. Come on, get on board like with him. The Pirates.
I like their receiver. Help me out with his name.
Well, we just brought in a Virginia Tech transfer, a wide receiver. So I don't know what receiver you're talking about, because we just produced these pros from Dwayne Harris. You know what I mean? To Patrick Creighton, to you know, just a slew of great wide receivers that have gone through ECU. You know what I mean? So Justin Hardy.
Stick to Chris Johnson.
we are grasping.
Zay Jones. How many receivers do we need to name here? You know,
I can probably recall one play of any of those guys' professional careers combined.
Well, that's your fault. Maybe you've been sitting over there having a few too many Molsons. All right.
The better question about this game is: I feel like you got ECU drunk versus Houston crunk. And you know,
I like that.
There's some.
That's a headline. That's a headline.
Yeah, there's some
potential fan fights. That's, I think, the best thing about this game.
All right. Well, where are we at next? NC Nick is on the clock. Pick 26. Where are you going?
Well, Patty C, trade in those Molsons for some cold Coors Light. All right, and go to Minneapolis, Minnesota. I think we mentioned it earlier.
Man, he's going to that.
I mean, what else is there? Maryland, Minnesota.
Yeah,
watch Tua's little brother against a really good Minnesota team. It might be interesting.
Actually, this game last year, even though Minnesota had like 30 players out, this game went to overtime. It was pretty wild.
It was wild. Yeah.
I guess
think Maryland won, right?
Maryland did win. And guess what? Yeah. Scotty Montgomery's gone. So watch Maryland go undefeated this year and win the national championship.
Did he leave?
Yeah,
where'd
he's
go?
Gone. I think he's with the NFL now. I think the Colts. I think the Indianapolis Colts hired him. So fade the Colts, guys. So Maryland at Minnesota, solid play, I guess. Patty C.
Well, look, you guys are sleeping. Maryland has the poor man's Golden Guido. You know. He is a recruiting ace in his particular state. That is a model that is kind of untested when you have that level of, I mean, who else is, I mean, you got like your Jeff Collins, who's from Atlanta. Okay.
Yeah.
But who is like a monster recruiting in a particular state that has taken over as a head coach? I can't really think of many off the top of my head. You know, you have national recruiters like Urban Meyer can go anywhere and recruit.
Cristobal, yeah,
exactly. But as far as dudes that are specifically able to just galvanize an otherwise like talented state that has always been incapable of putting a fence around it, you know, Maryland, Rutgers are both, and it's funny that they're both like came into the Big Ten at the same time. Could the Big Ten East go far east, and we see a little swing there out to the coastline? But I don't think so just yet. I think Minnesota Fleck is obsessively crazy, and I think they're going to roll Maryland here.
Yeah, I think they are too. But still, I understand we're in this spot. I think I could make the case that maybe South Carolina A&M is better. Maybe a Nevada Fresno State could be better. Washington, Arizona, maybe. I don't know. Actually, Lafayette, Arkansas State could be interesting. But
hey, we got a few more picks. Yeah. Sorry, so don't steal our thunder. Okay.
All right. Well, pick 27, Patty C. It is on you. Where are you going?
Well, I am glad that it's on me because I'm staying in the great state of Virginia, and I am taking the Gobblers, the Hokies of Virginia Tech, hosting Syracuse. If I recall correctly, Dino Babers.
This game sucks, dude.
Dino Babers break.
This is the worst fucking game of the season.
Look, Dino Babers breakthrough moment as the Syracuse coach came against Virginia Tech, and he made his like epic speech. They didn't think we had the heart. Blah 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 blah. Granted, that was up in fucking Syracuse, right? They're coming down to Blacksburg. I expect an ass whipping. But talk about a game that could seal a coach's fate on both sides of the equation. Dino Babers versus
point.
Justin Fuente.
That's good.
Who's
going to
get
good.
Fired? Bowl.
That is good. I do like that angle.
Who's going to get fired? Bowl. I like it. Patty, wow. You sold me.
All right.
Yeah.
You might watch for 3 minutes.
I'm on board, man. I'm on board. So. I mean, I guess I guess it fits right here.
No,
I mean,
it sucks. It's a terrible game.
I think you can make the case that like South Carolina A&M is probably better than that. But I mean, I now that you brought up the coaching firing thing, I think it kind of might be more compelling than that game. So,
well, South Carolina is going to get rolled at Texas A&M. That's halfway across the country. They have a first year coach who's never been a head coach before against.
A&M still beat Vanderbilt by 5 in College Station
yeah,
last year.
Say, yeah. I mean, you never know.
New quarterback.
All right. Well, man, where am I going to go here? Here I am. Pick 28. I'm all over the place here. You know what? I'm going to play the FCS ranks.
There you go.
Jacksonville State made the playoffs and had Zion Webb not gotten injured, perhaps they would have been able to play Delaware a lot better. They're traveling to Sam Houston State to take on the reigning FCS champions.
Hashtag Lux City.
Yeah, Jacksonville State at Sam Houston State. Sign me up. This is better than fucking Syracuse, Virginia Tech. All right.
Is my boy Eric Schmidt coming back?
Yeah, I think so, buddy. Where are you going on this? Where are you going? What do you think of this matchup?
Going Sam Houston State, man.
Webb versus Schmidt could be pretty nasty.
It is a really good game. Yeah. I agree.
That's an underrated game, Patty C.
Certainly better quarterback playing that game than what you'll see Syracuse, in Syracuse Virginia Tech.
All right, pick 29, NC Nick. It is on you. Where are you all going? Right.
We haven't mentioned this yet. Give me a little Liberty at North Texas.
Mm.
North Texas has a fun offense. They can, you know, throw the ball around the yard a little bit.
Well, that's because they got Seth Luttrell, the former Mike Leach assistant, the guy who picked up the guy who dropped the fake playbook for Texas to in the Red River Shootout a long time ago when Leach was the OC.
Seth Luttrell was his.
He was the fullback of that Oklahoma team, and he had him practice this.
That was the moment that playbook. He decided to become a coach.
Yeah. But no,
he's like, I can do this shit. You just give him a fake playbook.
And look, North Texas, say what you want. I think last year and the year before they've had their struggles, but Luttrell's had some success in North Texas, which is really unbelievable considering I think it's one of the hardest places to win in the country. And then you have Hugh Freeze and Liberty. So not a horrible play here, Nick. I'm kind of on board.
Liberty is a better school. They should win, but you never know, a strange road trip to an unfamiliar place. Be careful, Liberty.
Yeah.
You want to talk about two very quality coaches.
Yeah.
At programs where it's hard to win.
Yeah.
You're going to get some good coaching in this game. I mean, that alone makes it fun. You could see good coaching, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course you could see good coaching, Petty C.
It's easy to see a tide turn.
That's right. So Luttrell had a little step back, but obviously fucking Freeze too.
Yeah.
Liberty could have a really good year again. They're kind of
for BYU. Sure. I expect them to win double digits this year.
Wow.
All right, pick 30, Patty C, last pick of the draft. Look, I see your Army Black Knights out there. I see that South Carolina A&M game. There's Washington, Arizona. There's actually some surprisingly good FCS, Northern Iowa, South Dakota State, Missouri.
I was leaning toward that.
Missouri State, Bobby Petrino, Road Rash face at North Dakota State. There's also a big showdown in the MAC, Western Michigan, Toledo. How about Colorado State, Utah State, or how about Nevada, Fresno State? That one could be good.
Potent. Is Jed Fish in Washington? Did Jed Fish and Jimmy Lake have any connections?
I don't know, but I actually think that Fish is going to be a better hire than most.
Offense versus defense, yeah. There, probably about as far a trip as you can make in
Going
Pac-12.
From the rain to the desert.
That's
you know?
Right. No, I'm going to skip that one.
Where are you going, pal?
I'm going fucking Wake Forest at Army.
Yeah, I think I like this game.
Contrast in styles. Wake Forest, Dave Clawson throwing the mother fucking ball around, and Army
with Sam Hartman, my guy.
Jeff Munkin pounding the rock. What will give the immovable object versus the irresistible force? I don't know. Is there any more cliches we can throw
Nick,
on this?
What do you think of Wake Forest Army?
I think it's a shitty game, and it's something that's boring as hell.
He basically well. Nick. That was a great reenactment of essentially the great Jerry Burns.
Yeah, yeah. He felt like shit afterwards.
Yeah, you'll feel like shit after you watch this game, huh? Enough gold
and
black.
I'm gonna watch every play of this game. This is probably gonna be a noon kick, and there's a lot of we have already said this slate's not filled with a ton of great games. Well, guess what? The noon slate, this might be the best game on the noon slate.
Let's hope not. For all of our sake, let's hope not.
Man. And I think both these teams will be bowl teams. So this is compelling. All right. I'd still rather watch Wake Forest Army than Tennessee Bama.
Well, I do love Munkin. And what has Army got? Let me see. Up to this point,
they got at Wisconsin the week before. They get both their Power Fives back to back.
You gotta love Army stepping up to the plate.
But this is in West Point. This is Wake Forest making the trip to New York.
Interesting little road trip that maybe. I mean, when is the last time Wake played? I guess they played Georgia Tech regularly.
Yeah, with Paul Johnson. Yeah,
they took L's to Georgia Tech, and you know, while Army's not as talented as Georgia Tech, it's probably not far behind based on Paul Johnson's lazy ass recruiting. Plus, Jeff Munkin. I'll say this about Army. Their backfield has some dudes, man. I couldn't give you their names off the top of my head, but I remember watching them and just being like, hey, that guy's actually like kind of decent. You know, he might get some burn at a Power Five school. Number 21 and number 3 on Army were both pretty solid. I don't know the names off the top of my head.
Yeah. No, I think the game plays where it is. All right. That concludes our 30 pick draft for week 8. I want to tell you guys that the College Football Experience is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. If you haven't played on Underdog Fantasy, you have to check out. It's really cool. Their fantasy best ball tournaments are some of the best around, including their Best Ball Mania 2 tournament, where you can win $1 million. Plus you can play a number of games involving parlaying player props for the MLB, the NBA and more. They also have a special NBA playoff best ball tournament going on as well. So check that out. Go to underdogfantasy.com. Use that promo code SGPN and don't forget to enter their Best Ball Mania 2 tournament for your chance to win $1 million. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. All right, guys, here comes our upset segment. And then we're going to do our Lou Holtz what the fuck game of the week. Upset special here. I'm on the clock here. What is the upset that we are not seeing coming? What is going to happen here? This is actually a hard week because I feel like the obvious one here for me is UCLA to beat Oregon. All right. I think UCLA is going to beat Oregon. I think that's my upset special. It's just so,
I don't even know how much of an upset they'll be in that game.
Okay. Well, let me give you something elsewhere then. All right. Let me take you to Annapolis, Maryland.
Ooh.
Navy going to pull the upset against Cincinnati, get it done.
Very possible.
All right. So Cincinnati at Navy, tough spot for Cincy. Give me that as my upset special.
Ooh, Navy will be in my doghouse if they do that and fuck up Cincinnati season.
And you picked the wrong one, my friend. You picked the wrong one. It's Oregon State beating Utah. Oh,
that one is true. That one is, I think you're right. I think you're right. I like the Oregon State one even better. I really do. Patty C, upset special number 3. Where are you going?
Well, I kind of want to see.
Go to West Lafayette.
I will not give that game or Purdue any more love.
No, you said Tennessee is going to beat Bama. Please take this.
There you go.
I you know what? Is Notre
Money
Dame,
line? Sprinkle a little bit.
I'm not touching that shit. Is Notre Dame USC? If no. USC goes to Notre Dame, that's not really an upset.
No, that's even worse than my UCLA okay. Oregon.
Agreed.
One.
Agreed.
Georgia Tech, Virginia? You're going to go against Bronco?
No, I'm taking one that I would have sworn you would have taken.
What's that?
Clemson going to Pittsburgh.
Oh, I should have took that one. I should have took that one. See, I had my mind made up on UCLA. I got all scattered. I don't know what the fuck I'm thinking. All right. All right. Now comes our segment. And if you're a first time listener, this is our Lou Holtz, what the fuck game of the week part.
Well, I don't get the rain, man, cold, but they're counting.
Where Lou Holtz reminds us why is this game on the schedule and why should cameras not be recording this football game? This week is kind of I think it's better than last week as far as shittier games.
Well, there's one that is just
there's
the obvious most shitty game you can put on a football slate.
Well, I have
obvious number one pick.
I have the first pick, and I am going to Tallahassee, yes. Florida. UMass at Florida State, and
good
it's
God.
Walt Bell, the head coach of UMass, was hired away from Florida State under Taggart. How he got that gig, I have no idea.
It's like, hey, right? You guys suck. Can we have one of your coordinators?
Yeah. Well, which is crazy was that UMass was starting to develop a little bit of success with Mark Whipple. They're like, no, you're fired. Yeah. Right. Then they go get the shittiest the shittiest coach probably in I'd say one of the shittiest coaches in college football. So UMass traveling to Florida State. I can see Mike Norvell just saying, guys, we need to win more games. Can you please give me a horrible team that's an independent? And here we have UMass at Florida State as my.
Well, I don't get rain, man, cold, but they're.
My Lou Holtz, what the fuck game of the week? Look, let me ask you this, Patty C. Is Florida State officially done? Is Norvell fired if UMass finds a way to win this game?
I hope so.
He should be. If I'm a Florida State fan and I'm a, like, how far you have fallen. Dude, Bobby Bowden, it's so insane. Like, Nick Saban has had the most unbelievable run of any coach probably ever, but he hasn't even come close to being able to put together as many straight top five finishes as Bowden did. They only won two titles under Bowden, but as far as an absolute guarantee to be right in the title hunt at the end of the season, there's never been a higher program than Florida State, I don't think, for 14 straight years. And God, they have fallen so fucking far. To even be putting this on the schedule is got to be shameful to Florida State fans.
Yeah, I mean, this is ridiculous. There's going to be, look, and this is going to be one in a positive light where there will be fans in the stands reading novels because this game's going to be fucking over by the, look, what?
Well, Florida State was the original anywhere, anytime team, you know, and now they're playing UMass. What are you going to say, Nick?
I mean, it comes down to, like, you know, that game against Jacksonville State was a little too close. So those really good FCS schools are a little too good for Florida State here. Let's go with UMass.
Oh man. Well, I think they scheduled ULM a couple years ago and ULM took them to overtime and they had to score to take Florida State had to score to take it to overtime.
Yeah.
And then that was to get the sixth win for a bowl. Right?
And then ULM, by the way, they score in overtime, but missed the extra point. So that's what they lost by. Man,
it's stunning how far they've fallen. Like it doesn't even make sense. Cause the recruiting is still top 20.
Well, recruiting's overrated, Patty C.
That's true.
Okay. Well, Patty or NC Nick, you are on the clock with your Lou Holtz.
I don't get rain, man, cold, but they're
your Lou Holtz. What the fuck game of the week? Where are you taking us?
Yeah, so I have three games on my list here, and all three have like a team in the Northeast. So there's something about the Northeast that's just really bad football. FCS football. Yeah. I'll take you Temple at USF, the two worst teams in the American. They were 1-6 versus 0-7 last year.
That's a shitty game.
That's a boring ass game, man.
Dude, I'm a little surprised. I did not have this one on my list. I did not have Temple was bad last year. But I almost feel like it was one of those cases. I feel like they weren't allowed to, there was some type of thing with the school where they could, like it was, the school did not want them to play essentially, I think. And then they kind of got thrown into this. I don't know. I feel like that was the case. You go back the year before, they were solid. I feel like Rod Carey sitting on a decent roster could be better than what we think they were last year. I'm surprised that he played this one. I'm not saying this is an attractive game, but at the same time, I think there's a lot shittier out there.
I had one that was ranked higher, but I just wanted to drop that nugget, the 1-6 versus 0-7.
Okay. That's fair. That's fair.
I'm going to say this. This is a game between two pretty big cities in Tampa and Philadelphia. And both of these teams have basically the city to themselves at the FBS level and are still among the least supported teams. Like both of these stadiums, Raymond James and
Jim Levitt had them supported. And then they fire him just for striking a kid.
I know. Maybe the kid deserved it.
Striking him.
Yeah.
I was just
a lot of kids are pieces of shit. Let's be honest.
Mike Leach is a fucking hero of my heart for locking a kid in a fucking storage locker.
I don't even know what was true in there. I know that Craig James though was the guy manipulating all that, but
so, I know I come 100% down on Leach's side here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also those towns are pro towns, man. I don't know if you are going to get a whole bunch of groundswell for college football support.
Yeah.
Are they pro towns? I watched Devil Ray games. And there's like six people there.
Yeah.
Oh, they're Bucks fans.
Tampa. Well, now they are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. give them a losing season and that stadium will be empty again.
It's kind of like San Diego. It's too nice outside. Too many hot women, too many good strip clubs,
too many retirees.
Okay, Patty C, you're Lou Holtz. What the fuck game of the week?
Well, I don't get a rain day and cold, but.
Oh God, I don't know. Look, I'm just gonna put a game that had to be scheduled, but it's going to be just as ugly as it possibly could be. Oklahoma at Kansas.
Don't sleep on my guy Lance Leopold. Don't sleep. Look, I'm telling you this right now, and I know I'm not supposed to. I know I'm not supposed to talk because we're gonna smash the over. Kansas's win totals. It's at one. He's gonna be 1-0. They're gonna beat South Dakota. Don't sleep on Lance Leopold.
Wow, there it is. Win right. your money now.
Now I will say I don't think they're ready for Oklahoma yet. But I definitely think they're going to be 1-0. So you would.
I would say stranger things have happened, but I would say nothing has ever happened that would be that strange.
I'm surprised you took this over Arkansas Pine Bluff at Arkansas.
Well, I won't be
at
watching.
At least it's in state.
Okay, New Mexico State at Hawaii.
That's boring.
That made
I was
going to
say Middle Tennessee at UConn.
Well, actually think Buffalo at Akron is probably the worst, right? Besides
all
UMass
these games are just like, all right, let me say this.
Give me this Oklahoma Kansas thing. At least there's some rivalry there.
How many, this you ask me every week why I fucking don't appreciate the Mac. Did a single Mac team make our list this week? Was there any interest in any Mac team?
Well, I had this on this list. We didn't draft it, but Western Michigan Toledo, I think could be a really good game this week.
It's true.
So I had that, and I also had Miami, Ohio against Ball State, the reigning two MAC champions going head to head against each other.
These should have been on our list.
Yeah. Didn't have enough time to get them in. All right. Maybe at pick 32.
There
pick 32,
go.
They would have been.
Pick Dundee, don't stop.
Maybe we should make it a 3-hour pod and do 30 picks.
Maybe we can do it after this. We'll just go through our MAC games, our top MAC games of each week. Guys, if you're a first time listening to the College Experience, make sure you subscribe. We handicap every single Division I college basketball and college football game, but make sure you subscribe to the College Football Experience, and then make sure you subscribe to the College Basketball Experience. Brand new feed. We used to do it all on one. Well, guess what? Now we're talking college football and college basketball year round. On both feeds, check it out. Me, Patty C, NC Nick here. Been over 500 handicapping both sports for 4 years now. Every game, every Division I game, basketball and football. And we're way over 500 on our locks. We give you all of that for free on a spreadsheet over at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Look, we don't charge for picks. We won't charge for picks. And look, the only thing we're trying to charge you for is your kindness. Can you get over to iTunes? Give us a 5-star review. Say some kind things about us. We'd really appreciate it. Oftentimes, sponsors have told us it's very essential that they see people talking about the product they're about to invest in. So who knows? Maybe you leave a comment, and next thing you know, some company like Kirby Vacuum or something gives us a bunch of money to talk about their device.
Their high sucking abilities.
Yes. All right. So, please, if you do that, take a screenshot or take some type of photo of your review and, tag me at the Colby D on Twitter, and I will send you a College Experience t-shirt. It's a heck of a good deal. So you got to do it at the Colby D. Give me a follow as well. Patty C is on Twitter at Patty C831. Give him a follow as well. NC Nick's on Twitter at NC_NICK. Give us all a follow, and make sure you follow the Sports Gambling Podcast as well at DSGP Network. Check out all of our stuff. Slack channel, Sports Gambling Podcast. A lot of fun. Instagram, Sports Gambling Podcast, TikTok, all that shit. We're there. We're funny. It's a lot of great entertainment. So, do that. All right, guys, this is the week 8, way too early edition of the College Football Experience. You better start thinking about yours. And we out.